Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You all have the readings before you. And I want you to take a look at that second reading and read it over again as this homily goes. Because that will show you exactly the force of everything that we are saying. The devil has come for what? We know the devil is our adversary, the divider, the one who seeks to pit Christian against Christian, to separate them from Christ. We know from John, the Gospel of John chapter 10, it says that the devil has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he's not just worried about our bodies or about our families. He really wants to destroy our souls and to remove us from our eternal home, which is in heaven with Christ. That's what God has made us for. But the devil, what he's not going to do, he's not just going to come up to you right away and he's not going to say, hey, look, Justin, deny Jesus. He's not going to say that. What he will do is do other things, because Justin's not going to deny Christ, because Justin loves God the best that he can. And so do all of us who are here attending Mass. But what he will do is he'll try a more subtle way to throw us off our game and to remove us from Christ in a more deceptive way. But we'll get more to that later. Let's look at what is facing us right here in this moment, probably on the forefront of each one of our minds. Many of you have asked me these questions, and so I'm going to address them now. The forefront of our minds is what? The presidential election, 2016. This thing which is going on before us, the elections have already begun, ballots have already begun to be cast. But I want to look at it from a Catholic perspective. What it means for us to engage the voting process, our civic responsibility as Catholics. Because as Catholics, we know that Jesus Christ is the very center of everything. That's why we turn in our worship to face Jesus in Holy Mass. He's the very center of all that we are. And so he has to affect every single aspect of our lives, including, and most surely, the way in which we cast our ballots. Now, first of all, we have to say that there is not, nor has there ever been, a party or a candidate in the United States of America that has ever been perfect, that ever perfectly aligns their views with that of the Catholic Church. In fact, we can talk about various parties that were founded on the purpose of destroying the Catholic Church, like the Know Nothing Party. We can talk about those things within our American history. But because none of them align perfectly with our ideology, that means it takes prayer and discernment. A lot of prayer and discernment to figure out what God is calling us to. Because we can't just cast our ballots willy-nilly. We talk about many issues within the campaign which are left to a thing called prudential judgment. So what does that mean, though? Prudential judgment. It means that a Catholic or various Catholics can have legitimate disagreement on issues of, for example, racial injustice, education, economy, immigration, the health care. And they can still remain in good standing with Christ and with his church. But there are other issues which are issues of intrinsic evil. Meaning that they can never at any time, nor under any circumstance, be committed, promoted, or enabled by Catholic faithful. Because what they are grave sins. And if we allow them to happen without speaking up about them, we share within that too. Those are things which separate us from Jesus Christ. Putting aside all those intrinsic evils, let's just look at some of those things which are in the scope of prudential judgment. Take, for example, affirmative action. You know, that's one of those policies that is intended to eliminate perceived disadvantages that minorities face when competing, say, for example, like college admission. So one party favors affirmative action because they say it brings justice to our multicultural society, which has various disadvantages based on culture. Well, there's the other party out there that opposes it because they say it penalizes high achievers by giving those who are less qualified positions in school, where those who are more qualified are kept out. But what if we had a candidate that promoted a policy that would make it legal for someone to kill a black person because they prevented them from getting into the school, getting the education that they wanted to get? Is there anybody here who would feel comfortable supporting that sort of candidate? Thanks God, nobody's raised their hand. Well, let's take another issue. What about the issue of immigration? That's an important issue for us. One of the major parties supports unfettered immigration, or immigration with very little restrictions on it. But the other party, what they do is they say that they're concerned about unrestricted immigration because it can lead to many problems. One of the biggest ones that they bring up is that non-citizens will take the jobs away from citizens that the citizens really need. So one party favors an open border policy while the other party favors law and order. Suppose that we had a candidate who promoted a policy that said, we're going to legalize the the killing of Hispanic persons, if those Hispanic persons make it more difficult for us to pursue our career goals, getting the job that we want? Is there anybody here who would support a candidate that has that sort of view? Thanks be to God, I heard a no. Nobody raised their hand, because that is very, very wrong. We could not support that. We don't have a candidate, thank God, that supports any of these views. We don't have a party that supposes that. Nobody would say such policies. Nobody in their right mind would say such a thing. Because nobody would actually say that they want to kill blacks or Hispanics just for the sake of protecting economic or educational interests. Nobody would say that. But there is a candidate. And there is a party in this 2016 race for president that does, in fact, support the killing of blacks and Hispanics in those situations under one particular condition. And that is the condition that if that black person or if that Hispanic person is still in his or her mother's womb. Now, the candidate for that party won't say that. The party won't say it in those words, at least publicly. Instead, they'll use words like choice or reproductive rights or woman's health or use some sort of other form of sanitized statement in order to cover up what abortion really is and what abortion really does. But before we go any further, we need to deal with an issue. We need to talk. I want to talk to men and women who've experienced abortion. God's mercy is greater than your pain. God's mercy goes beyond that. And one of the greatest blessings that I've had in my short time of being a priest is being able to reconcile, to bring those men and women back to Jesus Christ, back to God, when they've admitted and repented that sin of abortion in the sacrament of confession. It's a great honor for me to be able to be there in that position to bring those hurting souls back to God, to assure them of God's love, even in spite of those things, that they still have the dignity of being the beloved son, the beloved daughter of God, and no sin can change that, not even that one. And I want to say that, y'all, you don't have to hide any longer. I know it's exhausting. I know it's exhausting to pretend that that pain is not real, that that decision and that loss wasn't a devastating one. God's love is still for you. And your Father has been waiting from the very moment that that sin was committed to bring you back to himself. Let him bring you back to himself. But let's get back to our voting dilemma. Think about it. A woman can walk into any Planned Parenthood clinic in the nation and have her baby be put to death because she doesn't want to jeopardize her education or her career. So those situations that we covered before aren't only possible, they're not only real, but they are among the most common reasons why a person in the United States goes for an abortion. Even that word abortion, it has been pacified. We treat it as nothing more than a term that starts a debate instead of a procedure which stops a heartbeat. Many people want to treat abortion as one issue among many issues, but we want to pretend that we don't even know what abortion is or what it does. And so let's get to the issue directly without beating around the bush. Do you know which candidate and which party in this election promotes abortion and even promises to expand it throughout the nation and through the world? Do you know which candidate and which party promises to intend to make you and me pay for somebody's abortion with our tax dollars, something which has not been allowed in the history of the United States ever? Are you aware that there is a candidate and there is a party which until recently used to say that abortion should be safe, legal, and rare? But today, they don't even bother to say the word rare anymore. In fact, they say that it must be available any time, any place, even up until the last moment when the fully formed term baby remains within that womb. And if you do not know which candidate or which party I'm referring to, then you must not vote until you find out who that candidate is and which party it is. Until you know. Ignorance in this area is absolutely and unequivocally unacceptable. Unacceptable because there are millions of babies which are dying each and every year because of this, because of willed ignorance. And there are many Catholic souls who are placing themselves in eternal danger of hellfire because they refuse to recognize this fact. And I, as your pastor, will not allow you to remain within that ignorance. I don't want anyone to go to hell. On the other hand, if you do know which party it is, and you do know which candidate it is that wants to promote and expand abortion, and you still intend to support their war upon these unborn children and help them with their vote, then it's my duty to tell you, as your priest, who loves your soul obviously more than you love it yourself, that you will place your soul in danger. And you are not to come to Holy Communion if you do cast your vote in that direction. I say that again. You are not to come to communion if you cast your vote in that direction, for that is grave sin and separates you from God. Every time a priest addresses issues like this from the pulpit, some people complain, oh, he's just preaching politics. Some people will say, a priest has no business discussing politics within the church. Well, what does God say? I take his word. In Ezekiel, God speaks to the prophet Ezekiel, and he says the same thing to each and every priest. He says, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear the word of God, whenever you hear my word from my mouth, you shall give them a warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked man shall die in his sin. But his blood I will require at your hand. If you warn the wicked to turn away from his sin, and he does not turn away, he shall die in his sin. But you will have saved your own life. And so it is incumbent upon me to preach the truth. St. Paul says, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. And I'm willing to go into hell for each and every one of you, but I'm not going to stay there. I have to protect my own salvation. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. You see, another one of the devil's tactics is to give us excuses that allow us to do evil. What he wants to do is he wants us to make evil attractive by saying, hey, if you do this thing, you're also going to do this good that you really want to do. What he wants them to do is to make us be able to give our support to things and say, this good is going to cancel out that intrinsic evil. But it doesn't work that way. Take, for example, many people bring up the issue of capital punishment. Capital punishment. They say, if you want to be really pro-life, you got to be against capital punishment. I say, fair enough. Fair enough. Why do people say that capital punishment is such a heinous thing? It's because you could be taking, mistakenly, accidentally, the life of an innocent person. And that's something that's very true. In our flawed political system, we could indeed be putting a person to death accidentally because we don't have all the facts. But if you believe that way about capital punishment, then that's the same reason why Catholics should always be against abortion and especially not support it with their vote. Because while some people have certainly been put to death accidentally by the use of capital punishment in abortion, an innocent person is always put to death. And it's always intended, not by mistake. It's always something that is chosen. It's never an accident. If a person is against capital punishment, then they necessarily have to be against abortion because the intention of abortion is to knowingly and deliberately murder an innocent boy or girl every single time. What about war? We should be against war, right? People who say we should oppose war, why? Because they bring up all sorts of statistics about people who are innocent who die, right? They talk about this collateral damage that happens and is going on even now in Aleppo, in Syria. That's the greatest problem with war. But people who oppose war, if they're against war, they're often so because of the killing of innocent people by accident, but they will still support their vote by the intentional killing of the most innocent people on the planet. This is the most heinous kind of hypocrisy imaginable. War has unintended deaths of innocents, that's true. But abortion always intends to kill babies. Always, in every situation. Sometimes what a candidate will try to do is they'll try to say, hey, I want to reduce abortion by improving economic conditions. But at the same time, they want to support abortion as a woman's sacred right. But abortion, if we look at the facts, it is never caused by social or economic factors. Sometimes they do play a part in leading to that decision. That's a true situation, but they're not the cause. If eliminating abortion were only a matter of economics or of healthcare or those sorts of situations, then you got to ask yourself, why is it that wealthy individuals, wealthy women, still abort their babies? That's not the reason why it happens. Many Catholics have often criticized Catholic priests and bishops for not speaking forcefully against the abuse of children by priests. And that is something which should never have happened and should have been spoken out clearly against. But we have to ask ourselves, why then do these same Catholics want to silence priests and bishops who speak out against the killing of innocent children through abortion? Why is opposing sexual abuse of children a thing of justice on one hand, while opposing the murder of children a matter of preaching politics? The two are not equal. Regardless of whatever the resistance is, the priest has to follow the example of Saints Peter and Saint John when they're preaching difficult truths. When there were those who sought to silence them from preaching the truth in the gospel, this is how they responded. They said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. But for I cannot speak, but speak what I have seen and what I have heard. The priest is still protected by the First Amendment, at least for now. But he is also bound by the Fifth Commandment, which says, thou shalt not murder. If a priest doesn't speak up for the most vulnerable, and the Catholic faithful don't protect the most vulnerable by refusing to protect them and allow their murder with their vote, then the faithful are condoning the murder of these innocent little children by cowardice. What did St. Paul say to us 3 weeks ago in the second reading? He said to us, God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and of love and of self-control. So do not be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord, but bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. This is in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 through 8. You see, part of every Catholic Christian's share in the hardship of the gospel is doing what's right, even when it's unpopular, even when it hurts to follow through with it. We must oppose every threat to innocent life, especially those that are most real and most urgent. And make no mistake, there is no single issue that threatens human innocent life more directly, more consistently, and more urgently than the deliberate killing of baby boys and baby girls in their mother's womb. No issue. Even since the time which this homily began, there have been at least 30 little children aborted here in the United States, and that's only the ones that are reported. Let me sum up with this very important saying, these challenging words. We have a serious obligation to protect human life, and especially the lives of the most innocent and vulnerable among us. Whoever fails to do this, when otherwise able to do so, commits a serious sin of omission. They jeopardize their own spiritual well-being, and they are the source of scandal to others. Should they be Catholics, they should not receive Holy Communion. This is what our bishops tell us in Catholics in the public square, about how we are to interact in the public square. You know, last week, St. Paul told us that if we are unfaithful to him, God still remains faithful. That's encouraging to us. But what did he say right before that? He said, if we deny him, he will eternally deny us before his heavenly Father. And so if we deny Jesus in these little ones and allow them to be slaughtered, then he's going to deny us before his heavenly Father eternally. In this week's gospel, Jesus gives us a similar saying. He says to us, will not God secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him for justice day and night? And whose voices are calling out more ceaselessly and with greater vigor than these little aborted children? Jesus continues. He says, will God be slow to answer them? I tell you, God will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? When God comes for us, will he find us to be faithful? Will he find us to be faith-filled and in line with him? Or will he find us in league with the abortionists and with the politicians who support their work? In this 2016 presidential election, the answer is up to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.